Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
The 17 Points of the True Church. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Now, Eric, yesterday we were discussing an email that we received from a fairly upset Latter-day Saint woman who was accusing us of being in denial. And more than once, she mentioned that her church and her church alone actually meets the requirements of what she called the 17 points, obviously referring to a witnessing device that Mormons have used for many years now that speaks of the 17 various attributes that would fit what they believe to be the only true church. This goes back to a man by the name of Floyd Weston. He's usually the one that's connected with this, and he tells the story of how this all came about. And so to explain to our listeners what this 17 points is, I thought it would be good to at least go back and give a little bit of history of this. But why don't you very briefly just hit a couple of the points so that people kind of know what we're talking about.
Bill, it has points like Christ organized the church, using a passage out of Ephesians 4. The true church must bear the name of Jesus Christ from Ephesians 5. The true church must have a foundation of apostles and prophets. It goes down a list of these 17 points, which is interesting because it does seem as if somebody who would have known about Mormonism would have come up with this list in the first place.
And that's the point. It does look very suspicious. In fact, we know that there are many Latter-day Saints that have found it to be suspicious. This story really sounds like it was contrived. But anyway, Floyd Weston tells this incredible story, and if the story is actually true, it's incredible, but I still don't think it proves Mormonism to be true, but it does seem to be too good to be true, and of course the old adage is, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Weston tells the story that as a young man, he was at college. He actually attended Caltech, and he says that some friends had heard that Albert Einstein was going to be speaking at Caltech, so they decided they were going to go into this faculty meeting where he was going to be speaking. Well, right off the bat, we start to see a problem here, because it's true that Einstein did visit Caltech on at least three occasions. We know that. But he visited Caltech in the early 1930s, and we know from Weston's obituary, he died in 2005, by the way, but it's in his obituary, it says that he was born on May 21st, 1921. So if we're going to assume that the early 30s is anywhere from 1930 to, say, well, 1935, that means Weston would have been around 9 years old, at least up until the age of 14. Now, it's not that a 14-year-old couldn't go to college, but that's not really the norm, especially one like Caltech. Anyway, he goes and he attends this lecture, and he's very impressed by some of the things that Einstein actually says. But he goes on to say that he and his friends that had gone and listened to Einstein had walked quietly back to the dormitory, and they were discussing religion. He said that there were five of them. Four of us, he said, belonged to different religions, and one was a professed atheist. One of the group was a brilliant fellow named Jim. Now, in this story, and I might mention, folks, this story has kind of morphed all over the web. So you're going to find stories, retelling of this story, where the details are not always exactly the same. I'm reading from a transcript allegedly taken from one of his own talks that he gave on this particular story. So he said there were five of them, and one of them was a brilliant fellow named Jim. He doesn't give a last name, at least not in this transcript, and who had a photographic mind. So they started to discuss religion as a result of hearing what Dr. Einstein had said. So Jim decides to get this chalkboard that is out in the hallway, I guess, of where their dorms were, and he takes the Bible and he goes through it page by page. And he said, it says in this testimony that Jim was convinced that our Heavenly Father was and is a just God. Now, if Jim used the phrase Heavenly Father, that alone surprises me, because that is certainly a term that is very much used by Mormons. Well, I will occasionally use the term Heavenly Father, but it's not something that I would normally say in recognition of God. But it is something that Mormons often use, and we see it in their writings and in their speeches all over the place. Anyway, Jim said that he was convinced in some of the 800 or so different beliefs and sects listed in this particular almanac that he talks about, that only one of them represented the truth and the whole truth. He took a page of the Bible at a time and went to work on his chalkboard. It took him almost 8 weeks. So it's really Jim who's kind of going through this list of what is and what is not a true church. He goes on to say, Weston goes on to say in his story that that Jim said he was convinced that Jesus Christ was sent here to organize his church. Now, again, Eric, is this not a phrase that we hear Mormons using?
Absolutely.
It's not one that we would hear most evangelicals using or anything like that. This is clearly starting to look very suspicious here. But anyway, Weston goes on to tell the story about how every Wednesday night and every Sunday they went out looking for this church. We visited various churches, but none of them had what we were searching for. Some of the points that Jim had written down on our cards, they had these little 5x7 cards, he mentions. He says some of those points that Jim had written down on our cards were that the true church would accept the scriptures, it would not have a paid ministry, it would have a proper authority from God, and it would claim to be the true church. Now, again, these are all very unique aspects of Mormonism. Why would a non-Mormon come up with that kind of a list?
They're too specific.
You're right. It's very specific. Well, anyway, Weston goes on to say that after they graduated from college, they went, or after they left college, I don't even know if they all graduated, he had his little 5x7 card. He ends up joining the Army. And he kept his 5x7 card in his footlocker. He ends up meeting a group of Mormons, and he starts talking to them. And, of course, these Mormons seem to come up with a list that sounds suspiciously close to the 17 points that he had on his little 5x7 card. He asked these Latter-day Saints that he had met in the Army about their beliefs, and so he ultimately ends up joining the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He says that a while later, he went through California on a furlough. So obviously, he's still in the military. He said the church was having a conference at a stake center. As I walked in, I saw an Air Force captain. I looked again. It was Jim. He said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, this is my church, too. The thing I want to tell you is that all four of us who were left, one was killed in the war." And I understand from another story on the web that was the atheist. What a sad story that is. He says that the four of us that were left, armed with our 5x7 cards, found the same church. Now, you can understand why this would be an incredible faith-promoting witnessing tool that Mormons would use. And certainly, it has been used. I remember, Eric, when I was first studying Mormonism in the mid-70s, I heard this from Latter-day Saints. They had used this and told me about it. And, of course, it sounds pretty incredible if that's the way it happened. Again, it would not prove whether or not the church is true. And I think most Mormons would probably admit that. They would say it's just one small piece of a huge puzzle. But here's the problem. The story, as I said, sounds too good to be true. And if you go on the web, and I challenge you, go type in 17 points of the true church. We found link after link after link. Some Mormons using it as a part of the proof that the Mormon church is true. Some Mormons questioning the story. Some Mormons actually debunking the story. Some non-Mormons debunking the story. But we find if you go to the FAIR site, and of course FAIR is the Foundation for the Apologetics Information and Research. It's a Mormon apologetic group. They seem to find it even questionable.
Now, Bill, is this still being produced and sent out by the Mormon Church?
Absolutely it is. If you were to go to the Deseret Book website, they do sell this CD where Weston is giving this story. They sell the little tiny cards, little type business cards that have the 17 points on them as well, not only in English, but in Spanish. So they are still promoting this, and since Deseret Book is owned by the Mormon Church, they are somewhat culpable in spreading what I have come to the conclusion is nothing more than a faith-promoting rumor, and we know that there are a lot of them out there. Very quickly, let me just say, this is what One Mormon blog site actually says, there was a person that wrote, and he said, the 17 points of the true church question, unfortunately, is fiction or a made-up myth. Floyd Weston told a stake president in the San Jose stake that he was pinned down on this question while conducting a fireside and told the president that he made the whole thing up. It's a great story with a wonderful idea, but why? I truly enjoyed it when I went on my mission in the mid-70s along with other missionaries, and my nephew, while serving in the San Jose mission, found this myth out in 2008 while tracking down the stake president who asked Floyd Weston about the story. He says here, Deseret Book, I believe, no longer sells the story on CD, but I still have it. And as you just asked me, Eric, of course, the Deseret Book does still sell this. So anyway, what we have here is another example of what is known even among Mormon circles as a faith-promoting rumor. It certainly is encouraging to many Latter-day Saints to see something so incredible take place. I mean, wow, that is an incredible coincidence, you would say. But if it's not true, then it would do well for Mormons to stop promoting this.
Now, Bill, the 17 points that the church has now that's being used today are different from his. Is that a problem for you?
Yeah, I should mention that because according to this transcript, and again, I'm just taking this person's word that he transcribed it from an actual talk that he gave. Some of the points are a little bit different than what we find circulating on the web. Now, in the next couple days, you and I, Eric, are going to go through this very briefly. Folks, it's not going to be exhaustive. We're just going to briefly hit these points and kind of show why we have difficulty with this list and why it's not all that convincing. But his wording is a little bit different. For instance, he says, you know, the true church will recognize the Holy Trinity as separate persons. That's not quite how it's worded most of the time when I see it. We'll accept the Bible in its entirety, of which some parts of the record are missing. Now, why in the world would five college guys come up with that kind of a point? Why would they say something like that? That seems awfully strange. He talks about, of course, the unpaid ministry. We'll get into that. Baptism will be mandatory. We'll believe in the virgin birth. Well, that's questionable even within Mormonism. They certainly use the phrase, but they don't define it quite the same way.
And that's not in their 17 points now.
Right. Well, anyway, we're going to be looking at these 17 points in a couple days, in the next 2 days, and we hope that you'll join us as we examine this. Is this really something that Mormons should believe, or is it just, as we say, a faith-promoting rumor?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.